Real Madrid against Manchester City delivered on quality drama and incredible strikes. Their semi-final first leg finished all square thanks to Vinicius Jr. and De Bruyne scoring in style. We break down a titanic tactical battle and look at how things are ahead of the second leg with a score at 1-1 on aggregate. And we preview a thrilling semi-final in Italy, a derby, AC Milan against Inter in the UEFA Champions League. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly. Delighted to say European football expert Kevin Hatchard is alongside me to break down Tuesday night's action. Good evening, Kev.
Good evening, Rob.
Softball one, what did you make of it all?
I thought it was brilliant.
It was good, wasn't it?
Really good fun. I thought there was lots of quality, lots of tactical shifts, real cat and mouse at times, two brilliant goals, exactly what you want from a semi-final match in the UEFA Champions League.
Real Madrid 1, Manchester City 1. We're going to get into all of this right now. City travelled to Madrid for what was a repeat, of course, of last year's semi-final. Here's how the first leg unfolded at the Bernabeu.
Camavinga brings it forwards, knocks it infield to Vinicius Jr. Good goal! Oh! That is a stunner! Real Madrid 2! It's an absolute stunner from Vinicius Jr. to put the holders in front.
It all starts with that surge from Camavinga. Nice little combination between him and Modric. That opens up the space to start with. And then he has that lane in front of him he can drive into. But the touch, the strike, it's magnificent.
De Bruyne, a brilliant save by Courtois. Absolutely sensational. Thibaut Courtois sticking out a big glove to make a parry with Kevin De Bruyne bearing down on goal. Grealish by the edge of the area, looking for the give and go with Ilkay Gundogan. Gundogan back for De Bruyne. Oh! That is a beauty from Kevin De Bruyne to pull Manchester City level in style. It's an absolute bullet from the Belgian beyond Thibaut Courtois. Flying into the bottom corner.
Cuts across the ball, right-footed, and he gets such power. It's just off the floor, and it's beyond Courtois in a flash.
Seconds left to play of normal time. Camavinga's touch. It might come for Benzema on the edge of the area. Tchouameni has a go. Oh, magnificent stop from Edison. And that is it for part one of this blockbuster showdown between Real Madrid and Manchester City. All to play for when they go again next week. Full time in the first leg. Real Madrid 1, Manchester City 1.
You could hear the thwack off the glove of Edison when Tchouameni struck that powerful late effort. Mark Scott, chuckling away, joins us now on commentary duty. Mark, let's go through this sort of stage by stage, I think. How about the first 30 minutes and what Manchester City did in that spell and how Madrid were trying to counteract it?
Well, they weren't trying to counteract it. They were pretty passive, Real Madrid. They sat off and they tried to soak up possession, but they were just allowing Manchester City to come forwards at will, and it felt like it was only a matter of time before City took advantage of that. They had a few half chances. Courtois made a couple of relatively comfortable saves, but then we've seen it so many times. They were under the cosh. They weren't exactly playing at full pelt, but they found themselves in front. And it was a moment of genuine class. Camavinga and Modric combining, and then a beauty of a hit from Vinicius Jr. beyond Ederson and into the back of the net. And it was a familiar story, wasn't it? Real Madrid not at their best, but in front. And Manchester City probably felt hard done by to go in behind at the break. But the second half, it felt like the flip reverse, really, because Real Madrid fed off the crowd. They looked to push on for a second goal. They had a couple of half chances as well. But City then showed their steel and a masterclass of a strike from Kevin De Bruyne, low beyond Courtois, into the bottom corner, levelled things up. And at the end of 90 minutes, Kevin, I think you'd say that's probably about right.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think City were in complete control in the first quarter of the game. It was partially allowed by Real's game plan, which was to draw them in, hit them on the counter. But the problem was that when Real did win the ball back, they had nowhere to go because City's press was so good. They were shoving them out to the touchline. There was one pass that Camavinga played early on where he managed to switch it from wing to wing to find Carvajal, but it was so risky. And it was because he had nowhere else to go. So I felt in the first quarter of the game, City were in control, though it looked very, very dicey for Real Madrid at that stage. And it almost became then too comfortable for City, almost too easy, because their intensity level dropped. I think they were trying to draw Real out of position and they didn't want to go. So you had this game where they're just waiting for the other one to go, this kind of game of Champions League chicken, if you like. And then in the end, it livened up. And it livened up because Carlo Ancelotti got onto his players and said, look, we are not going to be able to win this game or even draw this game if you're not going to start snapping into things and be more intense. And the crowd got to the stage where they were like, what is going on here?
Well, you could feel that unusual feeling of being the team who doesn't have the ball necessarily, and that you could hear it from the crowd sort of emanate down a little bit. Not a frustration, just a, oof.
It wasn't even that, though, Rob, I think. I don't think it was that they didn't have the ball. It's that they were so passive.
Yeah.
And were almost there for the taking. It was that, like, they were waiting for Manchester City to score. It didn't seem that there was a constructed game plan. It wasn't even soaking up pressure. It was just allowing them to do what they wanted.
Well, it was just too much. It's fine to do that with City, because sometimes that's the only way you can beat them, is to say, OK, you have the ball. And when you're one of the best counter-attacking teams in the world, with Vinicius Junior on one side and, you know, Rodrigo on the other, you're going to try and do that. But you do have to try and affect City and make it tough for them and put them in areas where they're committing players, so they've lost the ball, but they just weren't doing that.
How much of this was thinking about Haaland? Because he only had that one sort of slipped-in moment from De Bruyne. They did a pretty good job of nullifying it.
Really good job.
Do you think that was a byproduct of how they got themselves into that sort of scenario?
Yeah, a little bit, but I think you can do that and you can try and contain him in that way without being that passive. I don't think that was entirely the plan. And I think once Carlo Ancelotti said, look, it's the right idea but the wrong execution, that's when you started getting them a little bit higher up the pitch. That's when they started snapping into a few more challenges. And that's what changed the game slightly. And in a weird way, that helped City, because it meant that the game became a bit more stretched. City found a bit more space. De Bruyne had that shot that was saved by Courtois. De Bruyne obviously gets the goal eventually. And that comes from Real being a bit more ambitious, Camavinga trying something, losing the ball, and then City worked it very well for the goal. I do think Rudiger did brilliantly against Haaland. I think he's got a decision to make now, Carlo Ancelotti, yeah, whether Militao he replaces him with Militao. I wouldn't, because I think what you need with him, with Haaland, is you need somebody who really embraces the challenge. And Rudiger is a bit wild in a good way. And he's got that kind of personality to say, right, I'm going to match you stride for stride. I'm going to bully you a bit. I'm going to try and match you. I'm not scared of you. You need somebody like that. And I think he fits the bill.
He was up for it, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He absolutely 100%. Reveled in that battle. And every time he won a challenge or made a block, he was celebrating. He was feeding off the fans. He was trying to get the fans pumped up. So I agree with Kevin. I think that it's the mindset as much as anything. And there's just a bit more physicality about Rudiger compared to Militao. Militao's probably got a bit more pace than Rudiger.
Yeah,
when Haaland gets
fair.
Into his stride, that can be... So it's a balancing act.
I suppose even if Rudiger gets himself... Say he starts, gets a yellow card into a tangle with Haaland, you can just chuck on Militao.
Well, yeah, and that's...
It's a nice position to be in.
Yeah, that's a nice luxury to have. The only time he got caught was when he tried to jump forwards to win the ball, and Haaland was really smart. He let him do that, made a little run behind, just delayed the run. But David Alaba was so switched on because he saw that he'd done that and he came across to block the shot. But Rudiger was so pumped up. There was one moment late on where he blocked a through ball and he looked like he was going to run around shouting Hulk smash at the top of his voice. He put his hands out, started going rah, like this. It was amazing. And you need that. You need that kind of skill on the ball is great. You know, pace is great. All of these things are great. But to have a defender who's really up for that challenge, you need.
Okay, let's get some reaction. First of all, Real Madrid goalkeeper Thibaut Courtois.
I enjoyed it as well. I think it's a fun game. You feel the tension, you feel the adrenaline, really nice atmosphere. So that's why we are footballers, I guess. And I think everyone enjoyed that. Good game. We come up front. We want to keep that win, obviously. But they have the quality, especially with shots from distance. And we knew it could be hard. And a draw is not that bad. next week everything to play for. We'll have to approach it like a final and hopefully we can win it.
Yeah, it didn't seem like Real Madrid were chasing a win particularly late on, especially with the changes they were making on Courtois. As always, Mark, he steps up, doesn't he, with these big saves in games where he's not necessarily in all-out action.
No, and he made one sensational stop from Kevin De Bruyne in the second half. He couldn't keep out the goal from his compatriot, but he stuck out a really good, strong arm. It was so well struck by De Bruyne, but the goalkeeping was exceptional because it was his positioning, his anticipation, the reactions and the strength. And it could be a pivotal moment. Both goalkeepers made one really impressive save apiece. We saw Ederson keep out Tchouameni late on as well. But yeah, that was top work.
The thing I love about Courtois is he's got what I'd call positive arrogance. I really like it. Like, he clearly believes, and with some justification,
oh, of course, yeah,
I'm the best goalkeeper in the world. And not only am I the best goalkeeper in the world, you should all say that I'm the best goalkeeper in the world. He does this in interviews all the time. He says, yeah, people give me loads of stick. They say I'm not the best goalkeeper in the world. I am. And I actually love that, because when you get to this level and you want to get into the VIP club, you need that swagger. If you haven't got it, you shouldn't be here. And I really like that. I think a lot of the Real players have got that. I think a lot of the City players have got that. That swagger, that confidence, it's absolutely what you need.
I mean, much has been made as well of the player playing out to the left of him in Eduardo Camavinga. Central midfielder being used as a left back, was even called up by France as a left back.
Yeah.
But not actually used there in March. Brilliant for the opening goal. Magical what he did for the opening goal. Loose pass for the equaliser. What do we make of him in this position at the moment? Ferland Mendy currently out with a calf problem. He has trained but was not ready for tonight.
He's rough around the edges, I think that's fair to say, and that's not even a criticism necessarily. It's exactly where you'd expect him to be on this journey. He's playing a Champions League semi-final against a team against a team that many people think is the best on the planet. So, you know, that is a trial by fire. I thought he was great for the first goal. I love the energy after he makes the mistake for the equaliser, because he still wants to be involved, still wants the ball, doesn't hide. You need that kind of personality if you're going to make a success of it. Look, Bayern have got the same thing with Alphonso Davies. He was a winger, and they've taught him how to be a fullback. He's still learning that. And the reason I bring Davies up is because when we didn't have crowds for a bit, what you heard when Davies played left back and Alaba played left centre back is Alaba the whole time in his ear. Fonzie, do this. Fonzie, do that. Fonzie, go there. No, Fonzie, don't do that. Come back. And that's exactly what he's doing with Camavinga, because he's on that side and he's able to say to him, right, this is where you need to be. If you've got a guy like that who can talk you through, that makes a massive difference. So he's learning. He's getting better all the time. He's a very exciting player.
Loads of tweets, by the way, have been coming in. This one on the match in general from John, I like this. Two great teams that challenge each other openly. Game halfway between chess and boxing.
Yeah.
A worthy Champions League semi-final. And how about this, about the Vinicius Junior goal, which got social media talking past the half-hour mark. Ruthella, what a beautiful goal, Vinicius Junior. Let's go. Stephen, what a player he's become. John, best winger in the world right now. Where does that sit with us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm having that, yeah. Yeah.
Because the change in him is that now he affects almost every game he's in. And the decision-making's excellent. The belief in his technical ability is enormous. You know, he does things instinctively. But he's now realised, OK, I'm skillful, I'm quick, I can do all these things. But actually, how do I play that pass then? Do I shoot now? All of those things. And he's making those decisions correctly much more often. For the last year, probably year and a half, he's been lights out. So good.
Just as Kevin was saying, it's decision-making. So you've seen the goal against Manchester City in the first leg, an arrow into the top corner, brilliant strike. Against Chelsea in the last round, there was the split-second decision-making to tee it up for his teammate. The awareness, the execution of the pass, complete package.
At Anfield, they're 2-0 down. Liverpool have started brilliantly. Real Madrid are all over the place. Picks at the ball inside left channel, comes in on his right foot, bang. Wonderful, unstoppable shot against one of the best goalkeepers in the world. They're back in the tide. That was the the turning point of that game, that tie. And again, that's him affecting the game. Depends what you want. People would look at Bernardo Silva in a certain way. Bernardo Silva's right up there because of his game intelligence, the way he plays. But if you want old school, old fashioned, skillful winger, he's it.
I do want that.
Yes.
I do want that.
Well,
very
that's
much.
Him.
His 15th career Champions League goal. Let's get some Manchester City reaction here from their midfielder, Rodri.
Very tough always when you come here. I think the lads were incredible. The effort was there. Sometimes it's difficult against this team because they have a lot of quality. I think the first 25-30 minutes we controlled so good the game, and first chance they have, they score an incredible goal. What we keep in the game, we, with our philosophy, we didn't keep the face. We keep playing even though it was difficult because they defend in a way that is difficult to get in. And I think the key was shooting from the frontal area. I tried sometimes and then Kevin found the goal. And then I think the last minutes we struggled a little bit to keep the ball, I think, but in this stadium is normal.
Rodri speaking there. Actually speaking in the press conference, he did the press conference on Monday. He spoke about how brilliant the team were for 180 minutes, but it was not enough. We've learned and changed a lot of things. So we'll see in the second leg. Tweets keep coming in. Kyle says it's still 50-50, in his opinion, going into the second leg. I don't see it as advantage City. Real Madrid are perfectly capable of going away and getting a result just like City did today. And it might suit Madrid, as you were alluding to, actually, Kev, playing to their counter-attacking style. On that Kevin De Bruyne goal, 7 of his 14 goals in this competition have come from outside the box. Since he joined City in 2015, it's the highest percentage of anyone to score from distance. He actually had that chance where the ball was squared to him on the edge of the box and he took a touch and then shot. I thought he was just going to wrap his boot around it and hit it. But his goal was extraordinary technique, Mark.
It was, but it also came after a game where he hadn't been at his usual level when it came to his delivery. Quite a few corners weren't quite on point. Yep. They were quite a few short corners. He was hitting them too long, too deep. There were a few opportunities to have a go from the edge of the area, and he didn't seem to have his shooting boots on, but then he delivered.
And he's so smart as well. His movement is really, really good. Those runs he makes down the right-hand side, sometimes he'll pop up in the half spaces, just trying to find pockets of space. He makes space for others because he's dragging defenders out of the way because they're so concerned about what he can do. And he strikes the ball so beautifully, but so intelligently as well. He scored a really big goal against Arsenal in that kind of title clash, if you like, really early on. It was a lovely dip of the shoulder and just a really smart, well-struck side foot into the corner.
Yeah, brilliant goal. Yeah.
Which he made a very difficult goal look really, really easy. Here he understood, I've got to hit this first time. He hits the ball so violently. I mean, it's unbelievable, the consistency of technique. He is, and has been for a long, long time, just such a brilliant all-round player.
The difference of the tie this year compared to last year's semi-final is the second leg is in Manchester rather than Madrid, and I'm sure that will make some kind of difference. Real Madrid face 18th place Getafe the weekend, so fighting for survival in La Liga. Similarly, City go away to Everton on Sunday. Tough game at Goodison. They just come off the back of... You were there on Monday.
Yeah, they beat Brighton and Hove Albion, who are chasing a place in UEFA competition next season, 5-1 at Brighton Stadium. So it's tricky because, like I say, Manchester City don't have any margin really for error in their quest for the domestic title. Real Madrid don't really have that
they
same...
They can rotate, can't they, Real Madrid? Will City do much of it?
I mean, Carlo Ancelotti can't be that far away from trying to call up us three to play up front because there's no need whatsoever to risk players against Getafe because they're not going to win the league. I mean, they've gone behind Atletico in the table for
but
what that's worth.
It doesn't matter much, does it?
But it doesn't
really
matter. It's all about this. So he will look at it on a case-by-case basis because he might think, OK, well, which of my players need rhythm? Which of my players, if I take them out and ice them and then try and bring them back, I'm not going to deal with that well. He'll know which of the players can deal with that and which of them can't.
And having said that, Pep Guardiola made a whole load of changes for the game against Leeds United, another relegation-threatened team in their last domestic game. So he will rotate anyway as well.
Okay, let's wait and see. By the way, if Carlo Ancelotti is going to play us up three up front, us three up front, perhaps,
yeah,
at the weekend. I don't think so, because he's now coached 190 matches in the Champions League, equaling the record of Sir Alex Ferguson. We'll get back to this game a little bit later on Matchday Live. Still to come, though, look ahead to Wednesday night's action in the Champions League.
Take UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
It's been a superb start to this season's semi-finals, but things might just move up a notch or two on Wednesday. All roads lead to Milan, as Jack Winstanley reports.
One of the greatest domestic derbies in world football transfers to the European stage on Wednesday.
Early ball in from the Inter left, and it's headed in! Nicolò Barella! And Inter lead in Lisbon!
It's thumped into the back of the net by Olivier Giroud, who races away to celebrate.
Stadio San Siro will be rocking as two of the most storied clubs in this competition's history meet for the first leg of their semi-final tie. Seven-time winners Milan were last at this stage in 2007. It's 13 years since Inter have graced the last four. Even their president, Stephen Zhang, can't wait.
I think for us, this derby is a chance of revenge. A revenge of history and revenge also for last year, you know. We're fully charged from every single one in the club.
Inter have lost both of their previous ties with Milan in the Champions League, including at this stage in 2003. The Nerazzurri's passage to the semi-finals this season has been reasonably plain sailing. Their Rossoneri neighbours are hoping to knock out yet another Italian team, though.
And Milan breakaways. Brahim Diaz crossing halfway at real pace. Centre field. Brahim Diaz for Rafael Leao. Right across for Bennacer!
And it's Rafael Leao to come forward on the left flank. It's a terrific run from Leao as he's away from Ndombele. He's up against Romani. It's Rafael Leao. It's Giroud! Milan lead!
Milan's win over Napoli set up this Champions League Derby della Madonnina. We'll be on air from 8 p.m. CEST tomorrow with a tour of Milan, interviews from both sides, and then the whole match live. Don't miss it.
Jack Winstanley there previewing the Milan derby. It's pretty good, isn't it, Kev? Milan derby in a Champions League semi-final. Fifth versus fourth in Serie A. Milan have had some patchy form late. Inter, five wins on the spin and very much a cup team.
Yeah, they are. And I think they'll take strength from that. They will look at what they've done against Milan last season in the Coppa Italia when they knocked them out, in the Supercoppa this season. And they beat Milan pretty comfortably. Milan couldn't deal with their width on that occasion. But Milan will think, well, hang on, we've just knocked out Napoli, who everybody loves and thinks are an amazing team and are an amazing team. They were lucky to some extent that Victor Osimhen wasn't fully fit for that tie, but they still defended well. Goalkeeper Mike Maignan was excellent when he needed to be. And so they managed to get through there. They managed to get through Tottenham without conceding a goal over the two legs. And so I think Milan will feel that defensively they're strong enough to do it. What Inter will look at is the fact that they came through a rock-hard group. I mean, that was to have Bayern in there, to have Barcelona in there. Yeah. And I think the really instructive game from that run is the one at Camp Nou when they went to Barcelona. They were brilliant that night. Really, really good. Posed a threat. Organised. And I think you look at the quality they have in attack now. Lautaro Martinez is in one of his streaks when he's playing really well. Sometimes that's not happening, but it is at the moment. So he's hot. And then you've got either Edin Dzeko's experience or you've got the explosiveness of Romelu Lukaku. Just now, I think it's five goals in his last nine, starting to creep into the one that we know and the one that can really affect the game. So that's what it comes down to for me. Can Milan nullify all that firepower? And if Rafael Leao is fit, can him and Teo Hernandez do loads of damage on the counter attack. That for me tactically is where it's at.
Well, let's get to that, because Stefano Pioli has done his press conference today, the AC Milan head coach, and on Liao said he will try and push, and if he feels good he can start, if not he won't even be on the bench. It's clear that we can't risk it. And in reality, you do imagine, and it's weird having a tie in the same stadium,
yeah,
for both legs, that it will be tight fundamentally in the first leg. In terms of the inter-team selection, we know that Milan Škriniar is out in terms of defence. Do you go with Lukaku then, Kev, based on what you've said, ahead of Edin Dzeko? This has been a question throughout this entire knockout campaign for Inter.
I have a feeling they won't. I have a feeling they will go with Dzeko and Martinez to start with, because I think if you can wear Milan down a little bit and then bring him on with half an hour, 20
seen,
minutes to
we?
Go. Yeah. I think that's where you can do some damage. And I think there are just signs as well that Lula partnership, that Lautaro and Lukaku partnership, is starting to get back to where it was. There was a moment against Roma at the weekend when Roger Ibanez had a nightmare, gave the ball away, and Martinez was able to play it through almost instinctively for Lukaku. So that's a real danger. I think the midfield battle is obviously really, really important. I love Tonali. I think he's superb.
Yeah.
I think he's got a really important role to play. Benacer's been playing pretty well recently as well. But then you look at their league form, both teams, and think, wow, could you really trust what result you're going to get? So I think this is fascinating. I think it's such a massive opportunity. And it's the psychological part of it as well, because the pressure on these two teams is enormous.
Well, let's let Simone Inzaghi have the final word, the Inter head coach. This is the derby, not a derby. We're not hiding the importance this match has for us, for the fans, for the club. We want to face it in the best possible way. We can't wait. We've got it for you on Matchday Live on Wednesday. Okay, let's go back to our semi-final first leg from Tuesday, though. Real Madrid 1, Manchester City 1. An assessment of the match from Pep Guardiola.
When we were better, they score. When they were better, we score. Tight game. Bernabeu semi-finals always is difficult. And we got good moments, and sometimes it's difficult with the quality they have with the ball. But 1-1, final next Wednesday at home with our people. And we're going to see what can do better. So when you play this kind of game, it's like a playoff. So the second, you learn a lot for the first, and hopefully we can learn and defend better and attack better.
Pep Guardiola will be processing what happened in his sleep, won't he? Just working all out what he's seen tonight ahead of that second leg. It's always telling when he says stuff like that. Like, we're working him out a little bit.
Yeah, and he talks about American sports lots. That for me is an NBA reference. So he's, because you see this in NBA series, the playoffs are going on right now, and you see sometimes a team will lose a game and then we'll go, but that's okay, because I've learned how that matchup works. I've learned what he's going to do. We can change
fact
things.
Fact-finding kind of a defeat.
100%. Yeah. Especially when you've gone away from home and then the next game you've got home court advantage. You see that a lot. And I think that's the way he's thinking, that you get home, you think, okay, we didn't do that well, we'll change that. We did that well, we'll do more of that. So he sounded confident to me.
It was interesting the way he said we're getting ready for the final next week. I mean, it is set up like a final because it's all square and away goals don't count. So it is winner takes all.
Neither team comes away from this with a big advantage, said Luka Modric post-match. This tie is open 50-50 and we were pretty sure that nothing would be settled tonight. Other than the brilliant goals, we need a moment of the match, your favourite moment of the match. Hard to leave the Vinicius Jr. and De Bruyne moments behind.
I think Vinicius Jr. and Kyle Walker, there were two moments. There was the little sort of like stuttering, shuddering, where they weren't they going to have a little run against each other? And then he produced the rainbow flick over the top of Walker's head, but Walker then got back to defend it. So those two had a bit of a battle Hello, royale. Bro.
Antonio Rudiger blocking a through ball and then celebrating like he'd won the World Cup. That was my favourite.
Very good ones, because they weren't the conventional big chances, but they were both very memorable moments from a very memorable first leg. Mark, Kev, thank you very much. A reminder that we're going to be back on Wednesday, the 10th of May. You can hear the action of Milan versus Inter, that derby in Italy, on Matchday Live. Full commentary from 8 p.m.
CEST. And don't forget, you can download this very podcast shortly after every single match night in this competition via your favourite podcast provider. A reminder, it's finished Real Madrid 1, Manchester City 1. Goals from Vinicius Jr. and Kevin De Bruyne, two long-range stunners, means this tie is all level. But for now, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.